People keep their eyes on the vision. They help keep people on track. Goals enable people to choose the kinds of actions they need to take, know when they are making progress, and see when they need to course correct. They help people put the phone in do not disturb mode, appropriately schedule their time, and focus their attention on what matters most. Goal setting also affirms the person. Whether you realize it or not, goals contribute to what people think about themselves. As Claremont Graduate University professor Mihai Csikszentmihalyi points out, it is the goals that we pursue that will shape and determine the kind of self that we are to become. Without a consistent set of goals, it is difficult to develop a coherent self. Provide and seek feedback. People need to know if they're making progress toward the goal or simply marking time. Their motivation to perform a task increases only when they have a challenging goal and receive feedback on their progress. Goals without feedback, or feedback without goals, have little effect on people's motivation and willingness to put discretionary effort into the task. A global study of over 1,000 organizations in more than 150 countries found that more than one-third of all employees had to wait more than 3 months to get feedback from their manager. Nearly two-thirds wish they received more feedback from their colleagues. While a senior manager at W.L. Butler Construction, Eddie Tai was responsible for the recruiting, training, career development, promotion, and retention of project engineers and interns. Eddie points out that giving regular feedback helps people self-correct and understand their respective role in the bigger picture. Setting goals without feedback on achievement and performance toward these goals is woefully incomplete. And what do his constituents say about this? One told us, "Receiving feedback is the most important thing in my growth because without knowing where I am, how can I plan where I need to go?" She went on to say, "I also enjoy getting feedback when I make a mistake because I take note and try to improve for the next time. Without making mistakes, it is hard to learn, and without a colleague who can point out your mistakes, they can sometimes be overlooked and not corrected." Feedback is at the center of any learning process. For example, consider what happens to self-confidence without feedback. In one study, researchers told people that their efforts would be compared with how well hundreds of others had done on the same task. They subsequently received praise, criticism, or no feedback on their performance. Those who heard nothing about how well they did suffered as great a blow to their self-confidence as those criticized. Only those who received positive feedback improved their performance. Saying nothing about a person's performance doesn't help anyone, not the performer, not the leader, not the organization. People hunger for feedback. They prefer to know how they are doing, and no news has the same negative impact as bad news. In fact, people actually would prefer to hear bad news rather than no news at all. As one of Eddie Tai's constituents said, "It sharpens people's skills when they get feedback. I believe the more you know about your performance and how you are doing, the better. It lets me know what I need to work on." Learning doesn't happen without feedback. It's the only way for you to know whether you're getting close to your goal and whether you're executing properly. Feedback can be embarrassing, even painful. While most people realize intellectually that feedback is a necessary component of self-reflection and growth, they are often reluctant to make themselves open to it. They want to look good more than they want to get good. Researchers consistently point out that the development of expertise or mastery requires receiving constructive, even critical, feedback. In this regard, Wharton professor Adam Grant suggests stop serving the feedback sandwich, a traditional technique for giving feedback where you put a slice of praise on the top and bottom and stick the meat of any criticism in between. The data, he argues, shows that the feedback sandwich doesn't taste as good as it looks, and he offers several suggestions for making feedback more constructive. First, explain why you are giving the feedback. People are more open to criticism when they believe it's intended to help them and you show that you care personally. Second, because negative feedback can make people feel inferior, he recommends leveling the playing field by sharing how feedback has been helpful in your career. Third, ask if the person wants feedback, because once they take ownership of this decision, they're less defensive about whatever you have to offer. Framing feedback in this manner goes a long way toward transforming feedback into guidance, which is what most people hunger for. Feedback and guidance are vital to every self-correcting system and essential to the growth and development of leaders. However, we've found in our research that seeking feedback is not that easy for leaders to do. On the Leadership Practices Inventory, our 360-degree leadership assessment tool, the statement on which leaders consistently report engaging in least frequently is asks for feedback on how my actions affect other people's performance. In other words, the behavior that leaders and their constituents consider being the most uncomfortable with is the behavior that most enables leaders to know how they're doing. How can you learn very much if you're unwilling to find out more about how your actions are affecting the behavior and performance of those around you? The short answer is, you can't. It's your job as a leader to keep asking others, "How am I doing?" If you don't ask, they're not likely to tell you. Openness to feedback, especially negative feedback, is characteristic of the best learners, and it's something all leaders, especially aspiring ones, need to cultivate. Remaining open to feedback, Hillary Hall, Strategic Marketing and Technology Director at Cargill, told us was the key lesson from her personal best leadership experience. It can be somewhat of a painful and embarrassing experience, she said, to admit that there are parts of us that are unflattering. But it is a necessary component of self-reflection and growth. She appreciated how becoming a great leader takes practice and the willingness to view oneself with a critical eye. When leaders provide a clear sense of direction and feedback along the way, they encourage people to reach inside and do their best. Information about goals and progress toward those goals strongly influences people's abilities to learn and to achieve, and also applies to leaders themselves. Encouragement is more personal and positive than other forms of feedback, and it's more likely to accomplish something that other forms cannot, strengthening trust between leaders and their constituents. Encouragement, in this sense, is the highest form of feedback. Personalize recognition. One of the more common complaints about recognition is that it's far too often highly predictable, mundane, and impersonal. A one-size-fits-all approach to recognition feels insincere, forced, and thoughtless. Bureaucratic and routine recognition, along with most incentive systems, doesn't make anyone very excited. Over time, they can even increase cynicism and damage credibility. Moreover, generalized statements of encouragement fail to generate a significant effect because no one is very certain about either to whom the comments are directed or for what particular actions. Nathalie McNeil, HR Director in Australia for Novartis, contends that personalizing recognition is precisely what makes it genuine. That genuineness comes from actually knowing people on a personal level and sincerely caring about them. If you can't recognize something specific, she says, you're not paying attention. And good leaders pay attention. They know their people. When you truly know someone, not only do you recognize them for things they've done, but you also do it in a way that they personally value because it's relevant to what they care about. At Yum! Brands, the world's largest restaurant company by units, they require that every recognition award has to be personal. It must carry a handwritten message. To be able to deliver the appropriate type of recognition, leaders need to learn about the motivations of each constituent. Luis Zavaleta, a corporate banker manager with Wells Fargo, recalls one manager he worked for who was simply not interested in getting to know the people on his team. As a result, Luis explained, that manager relied solely upon financial means for encouragement, which had the opposite effect from what he doubtlessly intended. Most members of the team viewed the financial reward that we received from our manager with indifference. We would get anonymous bonuses attached to our paychecks without any warning or knowledge of where it came from or what was the reason behind the reward. The lack of immediate acknowledgement for our work left people unhappy with management. The lack of feedback left most members unable to determine if they were doing a good job, which further decreased morale and productivity. Because the manager was not interested in learning about the goals or needs of his constituents, Luis told us, this lack of care led to a decrease in satisfaction and retention levels. When people tell us about their most meaningful recognition, they consistently report that it's personal. They say that it feels special. You get a lot more emotional bang for your buck when you make recognition and rewards personal. That's why it's so important for leaders to pay attention to the likes and dislikes of each individual. Alexei Astafev, deputy head of the International Cooperation Department at Russian Railways, observed, "To encourage people to do their best, you should be able to recognize their achievements and make them feel trusted and valued. It has to be personal, precise, and visible. Even if it is a great reward, if you don't give it out right or get it right, it will be forgotten soon without achieving the purpose of bringing out the best in people." Doug Conant, while working to dramatically improve the performance of the Campbell Soup Company, spent up to an hour each day scanning his emails and the company intranet for news of employees who were making a difference. He estimates that he wrote at least 10 notes each day, over 30,000 notes to employees at all levels during his 10-year tenure as CEO. He says, "I made sure the notes went a step beyond gratuitous greetings and were focused on celebrating contributions from them." Get to know constituents. As one of the coaches for the girls' developmental team associated with Major League Soccer Club San Jose Earthquakes, Stephanie Sorg recognized that many of her actions were unintentionally bland and repetitive, and as a result, my players failed to feel appreciated or fully motivated. She told us, "I needed to make it a priority to stoke the individual fires in each person in order to foster a healthy atmosphere that encouraged improvement." Stephanie started paying more attention to the needs of the players and less time on the game fundamentals, dedicating more time toward recognizing their efforts and meeting with each individual to express her satisfaction with their efforts. She had to get closer to players so that she could comment on specific things they were doing, as well as genuinely express her commitment to and interest in them. For example, Stephanie made a special effort to pull aside one of the players after a drill and comment on her exemplary efforts. "I noted how it was obvious that she dedicated herself to fully embracing the practice drill and pointed out the tactical decisions she made that helped her succeed in completing the task to the best of her ability. In addition to meeting with this player, I would also make an effort to stop drills when the group made an excellent play and pointed out the specific teammates that made it successful. After a few practice sessions and games, I began to notice a difference in the way some of the players regarded and interacted with me. When I gave feedback, I saw the girls give their full attention to me and even provided visual feedback that they understood and appreciated the points I made." As Stephanie's story illustrates, to make recognition personally meaningful, you first have to get to know your constituents. If you're going to personalize recognition and make it feel genuinely special, you'll have to look past the organizational diagrams and roles people play and see the person inside. You need to get to know who your constituents are, how they feel, and what they think. You need to repeatedly walk the halls and plant floors. Regularly meet with small groups and frequently hit the road for visits with associates, key suppliers, and customers. Paying attention, personalizing recognition, and creatively and actively appreciating others increases their trust in you. This kind of relationship is even more critical as workforces are becoming increasingly global and diverse. If others know that you genuinely care about them, they're more likely to care about you. Showing that you care is one important way you bridge cultural divides. Because proximity is the single best predictor of whether two people will talk to one another, you have to get close to people if you're going to find out what motivates them, what they like and don't like, and what kinds of recognition they most appreciate. Yet managerial myth says that leaders shouldn't get too close to their constituents, that they can't be friends with people at work. Let's set this myth aside. Over a 5-year period, researchers observed groups of friends and groups of acquaintances, people who knew each other only vaguely, performing motor skill and decision-making tasks. The results were unequivocal. The groups composed of friends completed, on average, more than 3 times as many projects as the groups made up of acquaintances. Regarding decision-making assignments, groups of friends were 20% more effective than groups of acquaintances. There is an important caveat, however. Friends have to be strongly committed to the group's goals. If not, then friends may not do better. This is precisely why we said earlier that it is necessary for leaders to be clear about standards and to create a condition of shared goals and values. When it comes to performance, commitment to standards and good relations between people go together. Furthermore, employees who report having a friendly relationship with their manager are 2.5 times more satisfied with their job. People are just more willing to follow someone that they feel knows who they are and what they need. Feeling a connection with others motivates people to work harder for the simple reason that people don't like to disappoint or let down individuals they consider friends. People also stick around longer at their companies when they feel they have friends at their workplace. Be creative about incentives. You can't be a broken record when it comes to recognizing and appreciating others, praising people the same way again and again. Making sure to acknowledge people creatively for their contributions is critical to both the effectiveness assessment of leaders and to how their people feel about the workplace. For example, less than 8% of direct reports strongly agree that their leaders are effective when they almost never make sure that people are creatively recognized. Contrast that percentage with over 82% who rate their leader as effective when they observe that individual engaging almost always in this leadership behavior. Levels of commitment and motivation are over 2 times higher between direct reports at the 2 ends of the continuum on this leadership behavior. Donna Wilson showed creativity in her efforts to personalize recognition. As the VP and general manager of station KJRH, the NBC affiliate in Tulsa, Oklahoma, she figured that if she took $300 of her own money and spent it on recognition efforts, it probably would not touch that many people. Instead, she split that money among 15 people and asked them to spend it over the course of a month to encourage the hearts of others. Donna believed this would be great fun, and it sure was. Some gave gas cards to photographers to ease the burden of rising prices at the pump, or bought iTunes cards for IT folks so that the song fit the person rather than being something generic, or took someone out to lunch. Some gave unusual mementos to people outside their department. One example was the Big Fish Award, a giant plastic fish hung over the cubicle of the star performer in sales each month. It was creative, fun, and a way for recognition to go on and on, long after the month had passed. As Donna's experience underscores, leaders don't need to rely exclusively on the organization's formal reward system, which offers only a limited range of options. After all, promotions and raises are scarce resources. Don't make the mistake of assuming that individuals respond only to money. Although salary increases and bonuses are certainly valued, individual needs for appreciation and rewards extend beyond cash. Spontaneous, unexpected rewards are often more meaningful than predictable, formal ones. Rewards are the most effective when they're highly specific and given soon after the appropriate behavior. One of the most significant consequences of being out and about as a leader is that you can personally observe people doing things right and then reward them either on the spot or at the next public gathering. The form of recognition that has the most positive influence and that should be used most often is on-the-spot recognition, says Sonia Clark, Chief Human Resource Officer with Opportune. When something really terrific happens, I comment on it right away and to anyone who might be close enough to hear. Biswajit Sahu, manager of analytics with Walmart Global E-Commerce, admits that he was initially reserved about praising a team member, assuming it might make them complacent. He said that he often waited until the completion of a task before he provided any positive feedback. Having reflected on the impact of receiving positive encouragement himself, Biswajit now maintains that he passes along feedback about a job well done instantly. I realize that even a small measure of positive appreciation given right away has much more meaning than giving that feedback at a later point of time. In the weekly status meetings within our team, I take the opportunity to recognize the good work done by any team member. This also encourages other team members to recognize each other's work openly. In many organizations, the time lag between performance and recognition is typically too long to be meaningful. It's tough to remember much about what you did when the feedback follows many months later. While it is true that money may get people to do a job, it doesn't get them to do particularly outstanding work. Your options are also quite limited if you rely exclusively on the organization's formal reward system. The truth is that people respond to all kinds of informal recognition and rewards, which is the beauty of being creative and personalizing them. We've seen people give out stuffed giraffes, rainbow-striped zebra posters, mugs with team photos, crystal apples, classic car rides, and hundreds of other imaginative expressions of appreciation. We've seen recognition done verbally and non-verbally, elaborately and modestly. There are no limits to kindness and consideration. It's important to understand that genuine recognition does not have to include anything tangible. Exemplary leaders make extensive use of intrinsic rewards, rewards built into the work itself, including such factors as a sense of accomplishment, a chance to be creative, and the challenge of the work, all directly tied to an individual's effort. These rewards are far more important than salary and fringe benefits in improving job satisfaction, commitment, retention, and performance. It's all about being considerate. The techniques that you use are less important than your genuine expression of caring. People appreciate knowing that you have their best interests at heart, and they are more caring about what they are doing as a result. When you genuinely care, even the smallest of gestures reap huge rewards. Just say thank you. Not enough people make sufficient use of the most powerful but inexpensive two-word reward, thank you. That is, in fact, precisely what they found at Sullivan & Cromwell, one of the oldest and most respected law firms in the United States. For years, they noticed that they were routinely losing high-value first-year associates recruited from the top law schools, so they conducted a survey to find out why. What they found was a shock. It wasn't because of the money, the hours, or the work. It was because the young lawyers didn't feel appreciated by the partners. Consequently, the firm instituted a very simple policy. Every partner was required to say please and thank you whenever he or she made a request. In 1 year, attrition was reversed, and Sullivan & Cromwell was voted the best law firm to work for by American Lawyer magazine. Surveys reveal that the clear majority of people, 81%, indicate that they'd be more willing to work harder if they had an appreciative manager, and 70% report they would feel better about themselves and their efforts if their manager thanked them more regularly. At TFE Hotels, a leading accommodation provider across Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, CEO Rachel Argerman is quite adamant in saying that people want to be part of an encouraging workplace where what they do makes a difference and is recognized. Leaders, she believes, must make sure that people see the difference they make. And one way, she says, is just to tell them. Thanking people lets them know what leaders feel are the core triggers that drive performance. For example, Rachel writes a personal note on each person's annual bonus letter, a task that takes her over 4 full days. For each employee, she references a particular event, action, or behavior through which they made a difference, and then writes, "I'm saying thank you." In describing what kept her going through a particularly difficult situation, one TFE associate said it was the little handwritten personal notes she received from Rachel that helped her carry on. "Those handwritten notes are what kept me here." There are few basic needs more important than to be noticed, recognized, and appreciated for one's efforts. Personal congratulations rank at the top of the most powerful non-financial motivators identified by employees. Extraordinary achievements bloom more readily in climates marked with a high volume of appreciative comments. Research shows that performance recognition significantly impacts employee engagement at a rate of more than 2-to-1. The same research finds that employees who receive strong recognition are more innovative, generating 2 times the number of ideas per month compared to those who receive weak recognition. In our studies, those direct reports who rated their leaders above average on the leadership behavior praises people for a job well done were significantly prouder, more motivated, and more committed to the organization's success than the direct reports whose leaders are rated below average on this behavior. Researchers have found that members of top-performing teams provide at least 3 and as many as 6 times the number of positive comments for every negative one they make. Medium-performing teams average about twice as many positive comments to negative ones, but the average for the low-performing teams is almost 3 negative comments for every positive one. It is always worth the time to recognize someone's hard work and contributions. All too often, people forget to extend a hand, a smile, or a simple thank you. People naturally feel a little frustrated and unappreciated when their manager or a colleague takes them for granted. Sometimes they overlook this because people are under the pressure of deadlines and the mandate to deliver on time overtakes expressing gratitude. However, it's critical that you stick around for that extra minute to say thanks. Olivia Lai recalled that when managing the customer service team at Kimberly-Clark, it genuinely mattered to her constituents that she said, "Thank you, and I really appreciate your help." "You should see the smile that it generates," she says. "It gives them a warm feeling knowing that their work was welcomed and recognized by others." Olivia understands that for leaders, it's not just about achieving financial results and delivering on annual objectives. It's also about creating a winning team through trust and a personal connection. It includes extending a simple pat on the back, a handshake, a smile, and a thank you for your hard work. Expressing your thanks also has another more personal benefit. Robert Emmons, professor of psychology at the University of California, Davis, finds that people who practice gratitude compared to those who do not are healthier, more optimistic, more positive, and better able to cope with stress. They are also more alert, more energized, more resilient, more willing to offer support to others, more generous, and more likely to make progress toward important goals. From a similar perspective, David Novak, as co-founder and former chief executive officer of Yum Brands, observed that the path to success wasn't about tasty food, excellent service, innovative menus, and value. It was in the power of recognition. The important thing to understand about recognition, he maintains, is that it's simply good for people, all people, no matter who they are, what they do, or where they come from. The wonderful thing about expressing gratitude and providing recognition is that they aren't hard to do. and you don't need to be in a hierarchical perch to dispense them. They cost you next to nothing and yet pay daily dividends. You can't ask for a better investment than that. Take action. Recognize contributions. Exemplary leaders have positive expectations of themselves and their constituents. They expect the best of people and create self-fulfilling prophecies about how ordinary people can produce extraordinary actions and results. Exemplary leaders' goals and standards are unambiguous, helping people focus on what needs doing. They provide clear feedback and reinforcement. By maintaining a positive outlook and providing motivating feedback, they stimulate, rekindle, and focus people's energies and drive. Exemplary leaders recognize and reward what individuals do to contribute to the vision and values. They express their appreciation far beyond the limits of the organization's formal systems. They enjoy being spontaneous and creative in saying thank you. Personalizing recognition requires knowing what's appropriate individually and culturally. Although recognizing someone's efforts may be uncomfortable or embarrassing at first, it begins by making a personal connection with each person. Learn from many small and often casual acts of appreciation what works for each of your constituents and how best to personalize recognition. To encourage the heart, you must recognize contributions by showing appreciation for individual excellence. This means you must, 1, maintain high expectations about what individuals and teams can accomplish. 2, communicate your positive expectations clearly and regularly. 3, create an environment that makes it comfortable to receive and give feedback. 4, find out the types of encouragement that make the most difference. Don't assume you know. Ask. Take the time to inquire and observe. 5. Be creative when it comes to recognition. Be spontaneous. Have fun. 6. Make saying thank you a natural part of your everyday behavior. Chapter 12. Celebrate the values and victories. Life is too short to be miserable, says Charles Ambelang. You want to have a work experience that allows you to engage with others, share a laugh, see the humor in a situation, and thank people for doing a good job. Officially, Charlie is the Assistant Vice President for Human Resources, Santa Clara University. Unofficially, he is HR's CEO, Chief Encouragement Officer. When Charlie took the helm of the HR work group, it was demoralized and fearful. The team was used to an environment where there was little recognition of success coupled with severe consequences for failure. As one of his constituents told us, the HR team needed someone to appreciate our individual and collective efforts. Charlie focused on encouraging everyone to be a contributing member of the team and to work toward a collective commitment to deeply held values and service to the campus community. Charlie regularly encourages members of the department by letting them know that he believes in them and has confidence that they will be successful. Charlie also does crazy spur-of-the-moment things to celebrate the team's accomplishments, like going to the local grocery store and buying boxes of popsicles and ice cream bars. He'll return to the office with his booty of icy goodness, empty the mail cart, load it up with treats, and then play ice cream truck music on his smartphone while cruising through the office giving everyone their pick of a cool delight. Charlie sets up celebratory outings for the team, such as an HR at the movies night. When a recent blockbuster movie was released, he bought enough tickets so each HR staff member could ask a family member or friend to join them for the film, and then dinner afterward to discuss what they saw and how it translated back to their work. He organizes an annual Friday night trip to the local minor league baseball game for HR staff and their families. It's a fun and relaxing way to end the week and spend time getting to know more about our fellow team members as well as their families, another of his constituents told us. Then there are the personal touches Charlie puts on the way he expresses gratitude for the team's work. For example, on a recent Employee Appreciation Day, Charlie hand-wrote over 30 thank-you notes to the staff and student employees and gave out small, personalized toys that he had selected as a reminder of how highly he regarded each individual. Charlie took HR from a work group that was scared to say or do anything outside of normal channels to a team that works well together and supports one another. As individuals and work teams, everyone is empowered and encouraged to innovate and offer up ideas, and then to take the time to celebrate individual and team accomplishments. There is more team cohesion and cooperation than ever existed before. Here's how one constituent summed up Charlie's approach. As the chief encouragement officer of HR, Charlie has shown us that we all contribute to the success of the entire team. And he regularly and repeatedly comes up with enjoyable and unique ways to keep us fully engaged and doing great work. He has a talent for making work rewarding and fun. The actions of Charlie Ambelang and the experience of the HR department confirm our research. Performance improves when leaders publicly honor those who have excelled and been an example to others when they demonstrate that we are all in this together. And when they make the work environment a place where people want to both be and stay. That is why exemplary leaders make a commitment to celebrate the values and victories by mastering these essentials. Create a spirit of community. Be personally involved. When leaders bring people together, rejoice in collective successes, and directly display their gratitude, they reinforce the essence of community. Being personally involved makes it clear that everyone is committed to making extraordinary things happen. Create a spirit of community. Too many organizations operate as if social gatherings were a nuisance. They aren't. Human beings are social animals, hardwired to connect with others. People are meant to do things together, to form communities, and in this way demonstrate a common bond. When social connections are strong and numerous, there's more trust, reciprocity, information flow, collective action, and happiness. And, by the way, greater wealth. Some of the fastest growing and most successful businesses these days are evidence of the need for social connection. Facebook, WhatsApp, QQ, WeChat, Qzone, Instagram, Twitter, and Skype are only a few of the social networking sites with over 100 million users. Researchers have found that social networking site users have more friends and more close friends than non-users. Social capital is as significant a source of success and happiness as our physical and intellectual capital. Corporate celebrations are among the best ways to capitalize on the need to connect, to socialize, and to create a feeling of community. Research on corporate celebrations has found that they infuse life with passion and purpose. They bond people together and connect us to shared values and myths. Ceremonies and rituals create community, fusing individual souls with the corporate spirit. When everything is going well, these occasions allow us to revel in our glory. When times are tough, ceremonies draw us together, kindling hope and faith that better times lie ahead. The gap in levels of pride, motivation, and commitment among employees we found is wide, almost 25%, between those people who report their managers always find ways to celebrate accomplishments and those whose managers seldom do so. With celebrations, leaders create a sense of team spirit, both building and maintaining the social support necessary to thrive, especially in stressful and uncertain times. Sometimes celebrations can be elaborate, but more often they are about connecting everyday actions and events to the values of the organization and the accomplishments of the team. Exemplary leaders seldom let an opportunity pass to make sure that constituents know why they're there and how they should act in service of that purpose. For example, Kurt Richards, Executive Vice President of Sales at Seagate Technology, uses regular monthly conference calls with the entire sales organization to shine the spotlight on people who have been given standing ovations. This program is very simple. Peers nominate colleagues by filling out a brief form highlighting their contributions or an achievement. Monthly sales calls feature the recipient's photo and a summary of accomplishments, and Kurt reserves time to highlight and congratulate the heroic efforts of people in supporting the sales organization. Afterward, Kurt goes back to thank the nominators because, after all, he says, these folks are all very busy, and he appreciates them taking the time to do this. This public enthusiastic and heartfelt recognition goes a long way to making both the recipients and bystanders feel that they are valued and building a positive, empowering community. Actions like these are especially important these days when 7 in 10 Americans wish they received more recognition, while 83% readily admit they could do more to recognize others. Whether they're to honor an individual, group, or organizational achievement, or to encourage team learning and relationship building, celebrations, ceremonies, and similar events offer leaders the perfect opportunity to explicitly communicate and reinforce the actions and behaviors that are important in realizing shared values and common goals. Exemplary leaders know that promoting a culture of celebration fuels the sense of unity essential for retaining and motivating today's workforce. Besides, who wants to work in a boring place that neither remembers nor celebrates anything? David Campbell, a former senior fellow at the Center for Creative Leadership, said it well. A leader who ignores or impedes organizational ceremonies and considers them as frivolous or not cost-effective is ignoring the rhythms of history and our collective conditioning. Celebrations are the punctuation marks that make sense of the passage of time. Without them, there are no beginnings and endings. Life becomes an endless series of Wednesdays. Celebrate accomplishments in public. As noted in Chapter 11, individual recognition increases the recipient's sense of worth and improves performance. Public celebrations have this effect as well, and they add other lasting benefits for individuals and organizations that private individual recognition can't accomplish. For one thing, public events are an opportunity to highlight actual examples of what it means to demonstrate that we do what we say we will do. When the spotlight shines on certain people and others tell stories about what they did, they become role models. They visibly represent how the organization would like everyone to behave and concretely demonstrate that it is possible to do so. Public celebrations of accomplishment also build commitment both among the individuals recognized as well as among those in the audience. When you communicate to individuals, keep up the good work, it's appreciated. You are also saying to the larger group, here are people just like you who are examples of what we stand for and believe in. You can do this. You too can make a significant contribution to our success. The data shows that the extent to which leaders publicly recognize people who exemplify commitment to shared values correlates significantly with the degree to which they feel their organization values their work and that they are making a difference. Raymond Yu's experience underscores this finding. Ray is a manager in the new product introduction engineering team at Intuitive Surgical, and his division is responsible for surgical stapler instruments. He thought it would be fitting, creative, and fun to present a red paper stapler as an award. He took the initiative to order both a red stapler and a display case. At a weekly team staff meeting, Ray announced the Red Stapler Award and spoke about what it meant. I explained that this was a means to foster expression and communication of values, to recognize peers who have demonstrated values that we admire. Both his manager and the team loved the concept so much that they suggested that he open up the award to other departments within the stapler business unit. At the monthly stapler manufacturing review meeting, a large public forum, Ray again explained the Red Stapler Award. The Red Stapler Award is a mechanism to appreciate and recognize peers, to encourage behaviors that model shared values, and to foster communication. To the grantor, it is a statement of, these are my values, and this is how I see your values. It shows public support for the contributions being made. A month after receiving the Red Stapler Award, the recipient will then pay it forward and recognize someone else. This is not management dictating what your values should be from some DOP, Department Operating Procedure. This is for you and by you. Make it about what you want, what you value, and why you are here. And so for this month, I want to give the Red Stapler to Sunny Ranu for taking the initiative in the data analysis tools effort using modern search tools, even though the internal group is heading in another direction. It shows ownership and courage to do what is best for the company, not to be a bystander, and to do what is right and not simply accept what others have decided. Sunny then came up to the stage to receive the award. He not only showed the data analysis tool he had created, but he also thanked many other people in the organization who had helped him on this Skunkworks project. The audience, Ray said, was blown away by what transpired. The Red Stapler was a creative award that circumvented the limitations of the existing corporate recognition schemes. It meant more to the team members, according to Ray, than any of the company's monetary awards. After I had awarded the Red Stapler, Sunny told the assembled group that receiving it meant more to him because it was from a peer and not from management through a vetted approval process. It was real, sincere, and from the heart. Public ceremonies, like the one Ray described, serve as a collective reminder of why people remain with an organization and of the values and visions they share. By making celebrations a public part of organizational life, leaders create a sense of community. The process of building community helps ensure that people feel that they belong to something greater than just themselves, and that they are working together on a common cause. Celebrations serve to strengthen the bond of teamwork and trust. Some people are reluctant to recognize others in public, fearing that it might cause jealousy or resentment. Forget these fears. All winning teams have MVPs, most valuable players, usually selected by their teammates. Public celebrations are meaningful opportunities to reinforce shared values and to recognize individuals for their contributions. They give you a chance both to say thanks to specific individuals for their outstanding performance and to remind everyone of exactly what it is that the organization stands for and the significance of the work or service they provide. Private rewards may work fine to motivate individuals, but they have little impact on the team. Researchers have shown that people tend to pick up on the mood and attitudes of those around them, called emotional contagion, and often in ways they don't consciously realize. Circuits in the brain are activated when people see others act in a certain way. It's as if they had taken action themselves. Watching someone else can impact the brain in ways that mirror experiencing it directly. To generate community-wide energy and commitment for the common cause, you need to celebrate successes in public. Ceremonies and celebrations are opportunities to build healthier groups, to enable members of the organization to know and care about each other. Also, as Brian Dalton, finance manager with Rocket Fuel, observed, it sets up an expectation that everything else that is done will be at that level or above. Which is why he realized that in publicly acknowledging someone for doing a good job, you help to set a standard of what is judged to be good work. You want the recipient of the praise to feel valued and recognized for their contributions, but you also want to publicly celebrate those values and victories so that others can see and replicate them. Provide social support. Supportive relationships at work, relationships characterized by a genuine belief in and advocacy for the interests of others, are essential in maintaining personal and organizational vitality. People who don't like the folks they're working with don't do their best work or stick around very long. Consider what studies have found about the differences between the task performances of groups of friends versus acquaintances. In groups composed of acquaintances, individuals prefer to work alone and speak with others in the group only when necessary. Consequently, they are reluctant to seek help or point out mistakes being made by others. Groups made up of friends, on the other hand, talk with one another right from the project's get-go. They evaluate ideas more critically, give timely feedback when others are veering off course, and offer teammates positive encouragement every step of the way. Feeling a sense of connection with coworkers fosters greater accountability, engagement, and commitment to the organization. Employees with a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to engage fully in their work than those reporting no such friendships. Longitudinal studies in the United States and Europe also reveal that people who make use of social support have higher incomes compared to those people who don't tap into the power of a social network. This was true both 2 and 9 years after the study's baseline period. Lacking social support, individuals regularly ignored cooperative opportunities, distrusting other people and their motives. Studies involving more than 3 million people around the world show that social isolation is worse for people's health than obesity, smoking, or alcoholism. Our data shows that people feel connected and experience a strong sense of team spirit when their leaders provide lots of appreciation and support for their contributions. In turn, those same people report feeling highly valued and firmly believe their work is meaningful and making a difference. These sentiments translate into people who are willing to go the extra step to meet organizational challenges and demands. Engaging in this leadership behavior also generates favorable evaluations of the leader from their direct reports. These findings are aptly illustrated by what Ferhat Zor told us about his experience working on a performance management project with Borusan Logistics in Turkey. The Tuzla warehouse manager reviewed the performance of the various operational units at his monthly meetings and made the point that they needed to support and help one another. These meetings always ended up with celebrating any accomplishments as an entire group. After successfully completing one very challenging project, the company congratulated each employee by hosting a spontaneous surprise party, where Ferhat observed, happiness and pride were evident. Lots of photographs were taken, which were later shared on the web and in the company's newsletter. In order, said Ferhat, to show that each person makes an important contribution and each doing their best makes the company a success. Research across a broad variety of disciplines consistently demonstrates that this kind of social support enhances productivity, psychological well-being, and even physical health. Social support not only improves wellness, but also buffers against disease, particularly during times of high stress. This finding is true irrespective of an individual's age, gender, or ethnic group. For example, even after adjusting for such factors as smoking and histories of major illness, people with few close contacts were 2 to 3 times more likely to die at a younger age than those who had friends to turn to regularly. Social support is also vital to outstanding performance. Consider what researchers found when analyzing the speeches made by baseball players when inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. As elite athletes, they had achieved the highest recognition in a field demanding top physical skills. Yet for almost 2/3 of them, their words of appreciation were not so much about technical or practical assistance as they were about emotional support and friendship. What's true at home, in the community, and on the playing field is just as true at work. Researchers have found that people who indicate having a best friend in the workplace compared to those who do not are significantly more likely to engage customers, get more done in less time, have more fun on the job, have a safe workplace with fewer accidents, innovate and share ideas, feel informed, and know that their opinion counts. Friends are not only good for your health, but also good for business. And there are plenty of prospects for strengthening these relationships, because less than 1 in 5 people indicate that they work for organizations that provide opportunities to develop friendships in their workplace. Our files are full of personal best leadership cases in which strong human connections produced spectacular results. When people feel a strong sense of affiliation and attachment to their colleagues, they're much more likely to have a higher sense of personal well-being, to feel more committed to the organization, and to perform at higher levels. When people feel distant and detached, they're unlikely to accomplish much of anything. When people are personally involved with the task and feel connected with their colleagues, they can achieve extraordinary feats. Leaders understand that celebrations provide concrete evidence that individuals aren't alone in their efforts, that other people care about them, and that they can count on others. Celebrations reinforce the fact that people need each other and that it takes a group of individuals with a common purpose working together in an atmosphere of trust and collaboration to get extraordinary things done. By making achievements public, leaders build a culture in which people know that their actions and decisions are not being taken for granted. They see that their contributions are recognized, appreciated, and valued. Public celebrations, in my experience, Andrea Berardo, former technical project manager at Alstom Switzerland, explained, are crucial to the self-esteem of the employees, and they are essential in building that sense of community that allows people to see themselves as part of one team. In addition, he points out, public events are perfect occasions to reiterate the shared values and common goals. Have fun together. Fun isn't a luxury at work. Every personal best leadership experience was a combination of hard work and fun. In fact, most people agreed that without the enjoyment and the pleasure they experienced interacting with others on the team, they wouldn't have been able to sustain the level of intensity and hard work required to do their personal best. People just feel better about the work they're doing when they enjoy the people they're working with. One key leadership lesson that Sean McKenna, the co-founder and managing director of a chain of American-style restaurants in Russia, shared with us, make sure that you and the team are having fun. Similarly, Mike Sawyer, vice president of marketing with Perimeter X, explained that his personal best leadership experience involved ensuring that his team had fun while not consuming lots of their outside of work time. One example was changing the character of department-wide planning meetings. We set up an informal meeting area in the marketing department, Mike explained, with couches, a TV, and other things that allowed both standing and ad hoc meetings to seem more like a friendly environment. This area was in the middle of where everyone sat, so even if just a few people were meeting, it let everyone know what was going on, and they could freely join others if they wanted. We also did group fun dinners semi-regularly around milestones to encourage camaraderie as well as to reward progress. Having fun sustains productivity, creating what researchers refer to as subjective well-being. Moreover, it's not all about parties, games, festivities, and laughter. Wayne Tam, a certified financial planner and principal of Generation Wealth and Investments, described a former manager as someone who really had fun dissecting complex computer code or translating business processes into functional specifications. Wayne said that these tasks could be quite difficult, but his manager was always positive and built up our skills so that we could meet these challenges with the same attitude he had, and showed us how to have fun with this work. Wayne went on to say, I learned that though you get paid to do a job, it's better to be able to enjoy what you do and have fun. Research demonstrates that having fun enhances people's problem-solving skills. They are more creative and productive, which fosters lower turnover, higher morale, and a stronger bottom line. For example, the Great Place to Work Institute annually asks tens of thousands of employees to rate their experience of workplace factors, including, this is a fun place to work. On Fortune's 100 Best Companies to Work For list, which the Great Place to Work Institute produces, employees in the best organizations responded overwhelmingly, an average of 81%, that they are working in a fun environment. Laughter, says Robert Provine, a neuroscientist at the University of Maryland and author of Laughter, a Scientific Investigation, is not primarily about humor, but about social relationships. In fact, the health benefits of laughter may result from the social support it stimulates. Leaders set the tone. When they openly demonstrate the joy and passion they have for their organizations, team members, clients, and even challenges, leaders send a very powerful message to others that it's perfectly acceptable for people to make public displays of playfulness. They know that in today's organizations, work is demanding, and consequently, people need to have a sense of personal well-being to sustain their commitment. It works for everyone when leaders show enthusiasm and excitement about the work performed. As Jeanette Chickles, Director of Telecom Operations with Polaris Wireless, shared when relating her personal best leader